Hey guys, welcome back. And we have a lot going on today. We have a guest that was in the title, I think, that we put up, and Celeste Solem is coming back. She's had some great information that she's got access to, and is going to share that with us. And I had a bunch of things. I'm looking at a lot of developments here in front of me, and I'm going to try to go through some of them really quick. Maybe talk chipmunk speed. I'm not really very good at that, but I'll try to a little bit and just go through these things really quick so I can share them with you and then still have time to get right over to Celeste. And I think the main thing is that, oh, and by the way, this is Lost Arts Radio. If you're watching an archive or a recording of this, this is April 11th, 2020. And thanks to Doug and Diamond Disc Audio for making it all possible as usual. And right now, the situation, as you all know, America and the most of the world is in a very serious global crisis that is real. It's not imaginary. Most people think that, yeah, we're battling a deadly virus that threatens our survival. But if you think that, you miss the real crisis completely. And, you know, because of the stuff we're getting into, remember to subscribe to us on Brighteon and get on our mailing list on Lost Arts Radio because we're, you know, talking about some fairly stuff in the realm of things you're not supposed to know about, but we have to do that. So the virus is real and apparently dangerous to people with compromised immune systems. And it was that's the crisis that most people in places like America and other countries think is the issue. And we don't realize the fact of why we would be susceptible to something like that. And yeah, it's a serious virus. It's the worst that could be created on short notice in the laboratory, although I'm sure they've got much worse ones coming up. And we don't realize the susceptibility issue has to do with lifestyle and the connections to that. We've been trained to eat garbage, processed food grown on farms that use chemicals on the soil and pesticides on the plants. And I know most farmers don't know why that's a bad thing to do, and they think they're feeding the world by doing it. They need to get educated a little bit outside the box there, but that's another story. Anyway, we eat this junk instead of real food, and we're drinking water with toxic chemicals added and fluoride that has all kinds of horrible effects and doesn't help your teeth at all. That's even confirmable through the CDC website. It's a whole mix of toxic chemicals mixed with the chlorine and other poisons, and we're spending our time in environments with wireless radiation that damages our health. And now, an even worse form of radiation, which is called 5G, is being spread by government agencies in partnership with criminal corporations like the ones that are putting satellites up to make sure everybody's radiated with equal access all over the world. I guess that's what they call it. The satellites are a really bad development, and we'll get into that at some point too. Anyway, yeah, I guess the 5G is an advanced in the science of destroying life on Earth, if you want to look at it that way. So the problem is, with all that stuff together and its effect on us, we've got huge numbers of people with damaged and very weak immune systems, including a lot of young people anyway, and especially considering the poisonous garbage that the medical system has injected into their bodies from the day that they get born. And anybody that the fact that doctors would ever consent to do that shows that the effectiveness of their education in cutting off common sense is just pretty amazing. I'm watching the clock because we got to get to Celeste in a minute here. Anyway, even a lot of products we're supposed to put on our skin, are so toxic, you know, they're full of poisonous chemical ingredients. And you need to know that what you put on your skin, makeup or hair care or body care, anything like that, it really should be good to eat, put it in your mouth, or else you shouldn't use it. And we've talked about that before. Anyway, it's kind of an unbelievable situation, but it's the reality of a dark kind of sci-fi movie that we're living in, plus the negative psychological programming that we're getting nonstop from the TV, both the news and the so-called entertainment, which is teaching us that we're weak and powerless and even bad for existing because we're hurting the earth and causing climate change, which is being caused, but it's not by most of us. It's mostly the geoengineering that's trying to cause it in on purpose and then blame us for it. And it is our fault for using you know, or we're told that it's our fault, I guess, and looking at these dirty, inefficient energy technologies that we're given while the people in charge of things in this world are hiding the clean and free energy technologies and fuels. And those are not imaginary. They're real. They've been known and ready to go and used for more than 100 years. And if you want more detail on that, I think really good presentations are made by Dr. Stephen Greer. He's still got a lot of videos up on YouTube, including a lot of detailed presentations on the whole situation, the real situation with the advanced clean and free energy sources that would change quite a bit in the world. So it's not people's fault that we're not using those. We're not being allowed to use them. The people that they're hiding the available energy and the communications technologies that make 5G and things irrelevant and unnecessary, just the same way that they hide the real health information violently, and we stay vulnerable to disease and degeneration and what they call aging. You know, that's what's about, you're supposed to fall apart as time passes, and at least your physical body is, and all those things are abnormal for us in our real state. They've never been necessary, but we're not supposed to know about that. So those that explore the real energy and health information, get problem is they get killed. So right now the crisis is much more than a virus. And, you know, Dr. Boyle has explained in great detail that and we posted it on lostartsradio.com, that the precursor of the virus was actually developed courtesy of a US BSL-4 lab and sold to China about 5 years ago so that they could develop a better weapon against the US and others. And I'm not making it up. I mean, you would think if you were coming from a normal common sense perspective that that's impossible. It couldn't ever have degenerated to that situation in the world, but it has. And it should be a clue of what kind of people are really running the world right now. There's some things that need to be improved. Anyway, the manufactured virus was released to the world after it was sold to China, and it was mutated starting right away and probably in many forms right now. And connected to that fact, I haven't seen any indication that there's even an accurate test for it for the current forms at all, and it's not talked about publicly. But you'd have to get samples of the current mutation as a kind of a standard to test against to see if people actually had that in their system. And no, to my knowledge, nobody's doing that. They're testing for whether you have an indication of fragments of something from the larger coronavirus family. And almost everybody has that. It's connected with all the colds and flu and usually doesn't do any damage at all. So when the health authorities, health in quotes, of course, said that now you get tested and diagnosed for the virus in general, not the one that matters. They say, oh, so-and-so is positive for coronavirus. Oh, no. They forget to mention to you, I guess they didn't have time, that that general family is omnipresent just about in the world. And, of course, you get diagnosed positive for that. Out of that, some people are, you know, dying as they have been in the tens of thousands every year from variations of it. But it's being made into the excuse for a total police state crackdown. And there, in fact, on our site recently, there's a Montana doctor who was very brave and showed a CDC memo that it's fine to just use that as a cause of death if you guess that it might be, or think that seems like it should be connected, or you heard something about it, you know, and you find some general presence of the larger family at the patient who may have died, you know, from heart problems or pneumonia or whatever, but you just write it down as that. That's how the numbers are exploding in the U.S. And the people that are saying that that indicates something terrible are not understanding how the testing system's working. And the ones that are saying everybody should get tested forget to acknowledge the fact that the test there, haven't heard of any test for the actual specific virus in question. So there's scam on scam and it's on scam, and the people who say that are being demonized and shut down, of course. So subscribe to us on Brighteon and go to lostartsradio.com and stay in touch. Okay, so why do they want these numbers to explode? Obviously, because if you're scared enough, you'll accept a police state to keep you safe. This is the crisis. And you'll accept destroying the economy, which is not just a bunch of numbers on the stock exchange. It's going to cause a super depression and kill millions of people by starvation like it did in 1929, except now there's a lot less self-sufficiency, and it would be much worse, and they know that very well. The social chaos and destruction is useful for global consolidated tyranny agenda, which is what they're doing, and that's really what the crisis is. And the enforcers, you know, just everyday people who have jobs as police or people in the health system, they're going along with this stuff because they're paid to. And it's inconvenient to think that it might all be something other than what it seems. But we have to become conscious or this is going to not be very good in how it ends up. So any doctor that talks about experience in defeating this particular condition, especially with cheap, simple, harmless remedies, is immediately attacked by all the corporate media that the information they're giving is wrong. And the criminals inside the health agencies are making them into villains. And what's the easy answer to the whole situation, if they were honest, is release the real health information, reopen science, society immediately. And there's a new Facebook group that's about doing that. We posted it on lostartsradio.com today. So will people wake up in time to change the course of this thing as it gathers momentum? It's a question of whether we can become conscious in time. Right now, it doesn't look super hopeful, but that can change on a dime. And really, you're as important a part as anybody in this whole thing. So with that context, and to find out more about what the people in charge are doing, let's try to add Celeste, formerly of FEMA, and has a lot of amazing inside information that is public, but people don't usually hear about it. So I'm going to see if my great technological expertise, which doesn't exist, can add Celeste smoothly here. And it worked last time. Let's see if we can do it. We're within 1 minute of being on time, so the chipmunk talking worked, I guess. Let's see if Celeste says that it's adding her. Hi, Celeste.
Hi.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too.
I just gave the extremely rosy picture of what's happening in the world today to the audience. And not completely rosy. I mean, I mentioned the things that are happening. And some of the things we were talking about off air the other day, I don't really know the details on it. I find it hard to keep up with everything. I'm trying, but you're up on some things I'm not. So one of the things that I think people did hear about was Event 201, where just by amazing coincidence, they had this meeting sponsored by Johns Hopkins and I think the World Economic Forum and Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And they discussed, gee, let's see, what would happen if there was, look at a coronavirus pandemic. I mean, just in case that ever happened. And then right after that, it was released from the lab. But not everybody has heard of another event called 202. And maybe you could give us some context of what that is and why it matters. And then let's look at some connected issues after that.
So did you want to look at, we talked about Clade X pandemic, or do you want to look at Event 202?
I want to do both. I mean, the time's going to go by in seconds, but in whatever order those two things should fit together the most clearly, let's look at both of them.
Okay, so we probably should follow the example of the global governance, and we should do the problem first, and then we'll do the solution.
Okay.
So one of the things that people do, they always go to Event 201. And yes, that was a pandemic exercise, but people have to understand that they've been doing pandemic exercises for like 20 years.
Okay.
But the one that I am the most concerned about was Clade X. And that
CLADEX, right?
Right.
Okay.
And people can look that up on YouTube. But the backstory behind that particular pandemic exercise. It was different than all the other ones. The other ones were just getting the country ready, getting the medical profession ready, getting government officials ready for a pandemic.
Okay, but so before you get into the backstory, for people that never heard of it, what's the front story? I mean, what is it? Is it a meeting or what?
So ClayDex is a pandemic exercise.
Who gets invited to come?
Government officials at all levels. So that would be your county, state, maybe even city, federal healthcare workers, that type of thing.
So it's much bigger than Event 201, in other words, right?
Yes. And this one is really ClayDex. People need to understand that they spent 10 years reclassifying all life on Earth. And if we go back to 1975, there was something called the Asilomar Conference. And basically, the powers that be decided to genetically modify all life on Earth. And so that was done in 1975. And there was a three-step process. There was that there were declarations at that point. They did their plan. In 2010 was the geoengineering element, and I covered that real time. And then in 2018 was the final piece in the puzzle, and that is artificial intelligence. Now, going back to ClayDex, so since historically, all life was classified by the Linnaeus system. It was kind of a vertical system. And, you know, humans were in one category. The cats were in one category or family. Dogs are in another. They knew that there was going to come a time when things were going to mutate, that we were going to go into this extinction level event that we're in right now, and things would mutate. Some species would disappear and other species would come and thrive. And also then you add in whatever experimentation is done in laboratories and hybridization and that type of thing. And they wanted to make a system or a family tree, let's say, we all have family trees, that would include all these new things. And it would include genetically modified organisms. It could include spirits, demons, angels, giants, aliens, any creature. But they also mixed and matched it so that, like, humans are in with arthropods and dinosaurs and reptiles and birds. I mean, they say that is our family tree. And it's evolutionary, like I said. And when they draw pictures of it, it looks like a tree with branches, you know, the trunk and the branches and all that.
Yeah.
And it's called the Philo Code. And so basically they spent 10 years and they finally got it approved. They finally came to a consensus. And this pandemic, the coronavirus, is the very first time a new species, a novel species, was released, and they were watching it real time to watch what it would do, not only to the public, but to health. And then, of course, the controllers, the people that like to control people, said, oh, we can change behaviors. We don't have to discuss climate change. We don't have to discuss GMOs. We're just going to implement it while everybody's locked down in their electronic prisons in the four walls of their house. And so that's where we find ourselves right now.
Wow. So all this preparation from 1975 to 2018 that you're talking about, did that lead up to the actual event of ClayDex?
Yes. Yes. So yes, that there was the 10 years of developing this new classification of life. Then they did this exercise called ClayDex. And then I exposed it at the time.
When was that? When was ClayDex?
I think it was... Oh, I'm sorry, I can't remember, you know.
Okay, but somewhat recently, I guess.
Yeah, it was before Event 201.
Okay.
So that's all I know.
Okay.
And then now we have the actual release, a real time event, and that's why they're so excited about it.
Yeah.
And that's why things took a different turn than most people expected.
Yeah, it's really interesting now. I mean, they're having to admit that the numbers are going down, but the restrictions are going up. And I haven't heard anybody talking about how that's supposed to work. Why is that correlated? You know, you would normally think once they have to admit that it's running its course, that all the restrictions come off, but they're talking in the opposite terms.
Because they're saying we did such a good job at controlling you that, and you're all locked in your houses, and that's right. The reason the numbers are going down.
Okay. So this is basically a amazing proof that was unexpected, that this is how to save the world, is just stop human activity.
Right. This is their attaboy, you know, patting themselves on the back. And I'm sure you've seen one or two of the president's conferences, and you know, he's always, you know, big cheerleader, rah rah rah, you're doing such a good job.
Yeah.
Both to the American people and to the government partners and corporations, and everybody's right. Doing a good job. So
China was doing a terrific job originally too.
Yes.
So what did they decide at the meeting, or what was the outcome of that when they did the Claydex meeting?
So basically, that was just an exercise. It was a pandemic exercise.
Okay.
It just, you know, to simulate, it was a simulation of, you know, this bug went pandemic and what do we do about it? And the same players that are involved now were in this Claydex.
Okay. So it's just more preparation for the real life experiment, I guess.
Yes.
All right. So how does that tie into 202?
So 202, last week I was contacted. I was unaware of Event 202. And 202 is a solutions-driven resistance to what is going on with the global governance agenda. And so there are going to be panelists from around the world in different specialties. You're going to have governmental, you're going to have activists, you're going to have alternative medicine people, you're going to have the spiritual element. I mean, they've got quite extensive array of panelists, and there's people, from what I understand, I had an hour interview, I think it was like 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. So from all over the world, which are the best of the best in their field. And so this event is going to be held, the date isn't really firm yet, but like the end of this month, the 1st of May, something like that.
Okay.
And it will be live, and people can join it from their home and participate.
So it's all virtual. So even though everybody's, you know, being held prisoner at home, they can still go.
Right. So this is our opportunity to do resistance, even from our quarantine headquarters in our own home. So,
right.
And
wow.
it will give everybody opportunity to network with other people. Let's say your interest is alternative medicine. You know, you connect with other people that are interested in the alternative medicine. There's going to be specialists on 5G and what that does to biological life. And so, you know, you could connect with those folks. You can connect with Intel people like myself. So it's really exciting, because this is going to be, I guess they've got like between 300,000 to a million people so far involved and interested in building the momentum for this.
Wow, that's great. So if people wanted to connect to that, because I never got any communications about it, how do you get connected to that so that you can keep up with it?
So I need to get a actual website. I've been unable to find a website, but I did find that there is a Event 202 Facebook page. So okay. People can connect there. You do have to fill out 3 questions, which are no-brainers, like, would you take the vaccination? So if you're going to take the vaccination, don't even bother, you know, because these are for people that actually use their brains and want to be an active part and network with other people that are using their brains too.
Right. Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be great. Hopefully it will lead to ongoing activities after the main event happens.
Well, I think that is what is planned, and it's supposed to plant seeds. And you know, when you plant seeds, when they're watered and growing, you don't know how much fruit it's going to bear. You never That's know. Right. It could bear one thing, or it could bear hundreds, you know, of different things. So we right. just don't know.
It sounds great. So I was saying earlier that the outcome of all this is going to depend on the consciousness of maybe not all of humanity, but at least enough to get things moving from where they are now. And I thought it would be interesting to, you know, obviously we want that to change in a direction of awakening, not just in intellectual information, which we can be flooded with. And if we don't have the receptivity to appreciate and use it, then it doesn't really, you know, do its full potential good. But if people become more self-aware, more, you know, coming from a kind of a more awake perspective and stop fighting about everything and learn where the common interests are, then things can change radically. And I wanted to see what you thought of the current consciousness and what's happening now. And I want to give an example of the situation that we were talking about the other day, if you're willing to go into that a little bit, because I think it's really instructive and it illustrates where there's room for improvement in what human consciousness really means, because people throw that word around and it's something that there's not a widespread agreement on what it means. And maybe the best way is to give illustrations of where it is now compared to where it needs to be to find the real solutions at last.
So we were talking about my situation of what occurred when I became a widow. And my husband and I were just really hard workers, and we just loved what we did, and we spent all our time together. We were on the same page on everything. And of course, as you know, he was tragically killed 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was not planned. It just happened. And so what happened was that I, unbeknownst to me, I just found some strange behavior. Like typically you would have family and friends gather around you during a tragic time such as
right.
this.
Right.
And I found the first 2 weeks I felt like I was in a zoo being observed, like I was a caged animal. And people made a lot of promises. And then when I started to call those promises, they'd say, well, you know, if you need help with this or that or whatever,
yeah.
you know, we're with you 100%, blah, blah, blah. And then when I said, okay, I need some kindling or this or that, I'm sorry, you know, I can't do that or whatever. Right. And then I started, it was too broad, and I thought, well, this is kind of strange, you know. So then later on in August, so my husband was killed in November. In August, a lady invited me to a luncheon, and there were ladies, and it was a really nice occasion. It was a really nice luncheon, and they do this once a month. And I thought, well, this would be good for me to get out and meet people. And even though I have a lot of work and there's no ends of work on an organic farm,
right.
So I went, and the dues went to charity, but the bookkeeper wasn't there. So she called me the next day, and she goes, the first words out of her mouth were, I advocated for you. And I go, I don't even know this lady. How does she advocate for me, you know?
Right.
And we had quite a lengthy conversation. And several times she said, I advocated. And each time I'm just like thinking to myself, what did she ask? She doesn't know me.
Sounds like she's saying you were on trial for something.
No, kind of, I guess. I guess I didn't think of it that way. But yeah, the words are kind of that way. But then at the end of the conversation, she said, well, when you became a widow, the people in this area, and you need to understand, I live in a valley that's about 100 miles long. And so there's not a lot of people. It's not densely populated, but 100 miles contains a lot of people.
Right.
And both religious people, not religious people, people that are to themselves and people that are community oriented, you know. And we didn't live in a shell. Like on my organic farm, we gave tours. I always would give samples away, and if anybody had need, we would give charity if people needed it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I would sell my products at farmers markets. So we were not unknown. So we were I guess what I'm saying is we weren't recluses.
Okay.
So anyway, this lady says, we got together and we took a vote that you would be shunned. Like I was like in some sort of like a cult. I mean, is what you can say.
Yeah, it's one of those dark black and white movies from a few hundred years ago when they were burning witches and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, most people, a lot of the young people now might not know what the word shunned even means.
So what it meant is that I could not even pay to have anybody do anything. Like nobody, I couldn't pay $10 an hour to have somebody mow my lawn. My greenhouses collapsed. I couldn't pay anybody I offered $100 an hour to rebuild my greenhouses, and not one person would do it. And but they said that the one thing that they would allow is that I could ask for their advice. Like, you know, like if I had some terrible burden on my heart or something, or they really, I got the impression they would have liked me to move out. They really felt that it was the wilderness of the Rocky Mountains was not a place for a single woman. And well, they don't know my fortitude. They don't know my skill level.
Yeah.
And this is my home, and this is, I'm a renter, but this is still my home. And so anyway, I just stayed, but it was a real shock. And as we are tackling this situation that we're in, we need to be reaching out. Even though they have us shut in our homes, we need to be reaching out to others, such as myself. And just checking on our neighbors, our friends. If somebody needs a meal, if somebody needs an act of kindness, do not let them. This is like run by artificial intelligence. This is run by post-human people that do not want you to reach out to other people, either for kindness, love, activism, resistance, anything. They just want you shut in your box, and then eventually they'll get rid of you, you know?
All based on the fear of germs and the belief in that theory, which is just a theory. Pasteur actually changed his mind on it before he died, which a lot of people don't know. And I was listening to a great program earlier from an attorney, a brilliant attorney named Robert Barnes, that we posted on our website. He had done some analysis of a lot of different data. And interestingly enough, he discovered that the people who were living under social distancing had the exact same results with what the virus was doing as the people who weren't doing anything like that. It had no effect medically whatsoever. And I don't think you're allowed to know that. In fact, people get really upset if they're super terrified and you're pointing things out like that and they think that, you know, you're some kind of evil monster or something. But that was just the statistics. There's no effect. The only effect is, in the terms of what you're saying, it makes everybody afraid of each other.
Yes.
And it's a very successful program for that.
And now we're seeing, not only are we told to social distance, now barriers are going up.
Oh,
so you
yeah,
go to the post office, you go to the store, and there's those plexiglass barriers. So we're never, ever going to be able to touch another human. We're
exactly.
We're like prisoners, like in the movies, like we really have been sentenced, and we
yeah.
can only touch the glass, you know, of our loved ones.
It seems like the whole world environment changed extremely radically, very suddenly.
Yes.
So what's your understanding of why that appears to have just come out of nowhere?
Well, this is a generational plan, and this plan upon plan upon plan, and then they exercise these various plans, but it was very disjointed. But just like 9/11 appeared to happen overnight, you know, just in a flash of an eye, the same as with this. It worked very well with 9/11. And so it was time for this to come out of the closet. It was time for it to go live, and it did.
And suddenly we have our nominal political leaders, you know, the presidents and prime ministers and people like that, but they're all subservient to the medical bosses, the medical authorities, telling countries what to do. And I guess that's partly the outcome of countries voluntarily signing up to be members of organizations like WHO. And when you sign the membership deal, it's like, well, you can do what you want, you know, individual countries, unless we declare an emergency, of course. And if we declare an emergency, you don't have any authority, your constitution's over, you don't have any God-given rights or anything like that, and we'll tell you everything to do. And I think that's a transition that's happening.
Yes, it is. And that's
our rulers
why,
are different now.
That's why Event 202 is so important. And that's why each of the listeners need to, this is a call to action. We have to, each one of us, take action against this. Because if you don't, what they want is you dead. And so do you want that? You know,
yeah.
I guess you have a decision to make.
Well, some people, you're supposed to think that they want you to be saved, and that's why they're controlling your life. But that's not exactly what's going on. And it's interesting to me, talking about human behavior and consciousness, that like in Canada, for example, I think they've started, they've now decided that it's okay to go in people's houses and check on whether they're behaving correctly inside their house. And if they're not, they're able to fine them, I don't know, large amounts of money and put them in prison. And they said, don't worry, because we'll almost never do that. We're only going to do it if it's really important, you know, and you're being really disobedient. But that's what is always said about those kind of laws. And they could never do that unless there were thousands and thousands of police and bureaucrats and office managers and people like that were willing to do it, you know. In other words, if they're offered money, in other words, their job, to completely betray humanity, they say, yeah, that sounds fine, as long as we keep getting paychecks. And I guess the good ones, which is the majority of people, are not official, you know, villains. They're just not thinking of the fact, not looking at the fact of what they're doing. It's like they said about World War II villains, we're just following orders. So there, millions of people are just following orders. The big top global rulers are not personally able to go to everybody's house and enforce this stuff.
So this is just a transition period So they will be using those folks to go into people's houses for the behavior changes. But what's really coming is this hydrogel sensor that will be implanted into your body, and it will show you, it will report to artificial intelligence if you're compliant or not. I mean, in every way, from how you eat to are you washing your hands to are you exercising, all these different things. But it also, because you become one with artificial intelligence, it has the power to, if you, let's say you're not walking or you're not eating right, to change your frequency within your body and make you subservient.
Make you want to follow orders.
Yes, it can make you subservient, yes.
So it's a programmable gel, and my understanding is it's actually injected, is that right?
Yes.
So it spread, once it's injected, it spreads over your whole body, I think.
It assembles, and then it grows, and then it fuses to your existing tissue. So you can't get it out. It's not like if you change your mind 3 years down the road, you can't dig it out.
It's not going to be located in one arm or something like that. Mm-hmm.
And it also changes your DNA and your RNA.
Right. In fact, I heard that about the injection for the, that was patented before the outbreak, that's supposed to be rolled out and used for the supposed cure or prevention of the virus, that's the first of a new kind of vaccines that's RNA based, and it changes the DNA in the body as well.
Yes, there's actually 48 of them, and they all do different things, and they can do everything from take care of, address non-communicable diseases, all the favorite agenda things, to sterilizing you.
And they can end stress forever too, I think, right?
They don't say that, but they're going to promise you any carrot they can give you, you know?
Yeah, it's just turn the people into cyborgs, and then they won't have any more dissent. There'll be world peace, no more wars, and everybody will be patiently waiting to be eliminated, essentially. But it'll be very peaceful.
But we can be like Soylent Green, you know. We can go into the room with the big movies, big screen TV, and they can usher us out, you know, and then we can become somebody else's food, I guess.
Yeah, interesting. Because suddenly we have, even in the U.S., we have national rulers now that I don't remember being on any kind of ballot, even. You know, the validity of the whole voting thing is questionable right now too, but they didn't even pretend to be elected. They were just appointed, you know, maybe decades ago, and now they finally get to exercise the power that they were given.
Well, just think of all the agencies, you know, all the agencies are extra constitutional, so
yeah.
There's some thousands and
totally
thousands of those
against the Constitution, because the way the Constitution is written is there are enumerated powers for government, and in case anybody's not clear, they say that anything outside this list is illegal for the government to do. And if you don't have a power to do something, you can't just get around that by delegating an agency to do it instead. The agency is unconstitutional that way, right?
Yes.
So we've got an interesting situation. And this phase of it happened really quick, it seems to me.
Yeah, it's like time is compressing right now. Mm-hmm. And so because of that situation, every moment that we have that we could be active and we could push back and resist is really critical. Because we're in such a short period of time. If we don't, if we're complacent, we sit on our couch and watch Netflix and eat popcorn and frozen pizza, it's going to be all over. I mean, this is a call to action.
Yeah, that's why we're programmed to feel helpless, I guess, right? It's like, using a martial arts analogy, there's exercises of different kinds of attacks and defenses, you know. And one of them is that the attacker grabs the wrist of the victim. And most people in normal society would feel like they're totally incapacitated. But all they've done is have a wrist grab. Their whole rest of their body is movable as they want. And we're supposed to, you know, be programmed like that, that this new situation is like grabbing the wrist and we're supposed to feel paralyzed. There's nothing you can do. And that's not necessarily true.
Yeah.
So, what do you notice about people's reaction? I mean, you still go out to town and things like that where you are. You're not imprisoned in the house permanently yet, right? Where you are in Montana.
Yes, I like go out once a week to get a protein source because they have a war on protein. And so our ability to get protein is for a limited window of time.
Yeah.
Unless we're successful. And so I go out once a week and get protein. And I have noticed a dramatic change in the last several weeks. People are now very fearful. There's terror in their eyes.
Uh-huh.
They don't want you anywhere near them. I am 3 hours from town. But even like my favorite checkers at grocery stores and plant nurseries that I visit, it's like, stay away, stay away.
Yeah, you know, I've noticed exactly the same thing. And you might have thought because of the normal interaction before, oh, this is somebody I can talk to that understands what's going on. It may not be the case, right?
Yeah.
So in your own situation that you mentioned where nobody will help you, which is really like sci-fi movie stuff, if there were people that were willing to do anything to help you, what would you want them to do? Because what I'm saying is anybody who listens to this broadcast or recordings of it or shares it, which I hope everybody will do extremely widely while it's still available, and they hear this and they can still travel from where they are if it's not too far away, what's the current situation? What do you need help with?
So I need two greenhouses rebuilt because they collapsed because of the snow, and fencing. I live in the Rocky Mountains, so there's damage that just occurs over the winter. And I have like 200 head of elk. And sometimes I feel like a fish in a fishbowl because the elk are surrounding my house. So I definitely need fencing, or I don't have anything. I mean, it's fruitless to grow anything because I'm growing a buffet for the wildlife unless I have my fencing up.
Okay, so what kind of greenhouse is plastic or glass, or is it wood or metal frame?
It's like cattle panels. They're hoop houses, so they're cattle panels, and they've got plastic over them, and then the fence would be like a wood fence. And some of the posts do need to be redone. Some of the fence is still intact, and other parts, the person that started this project that did not finish it, and then they collapsed, tore my fences apart. And so any deer or elk can just get in. And they did last year and ate their way through my garden.
Have you got wire on the fence to make an actual barrier? Or is it just cross, beams?
Some of it does have wire and some of it doesn't.
Okay, because couldn't they just get through the non-wired part?
No. Yeah. It's not bad. It just little places here and there. There's holes. There's breaches in the wall, so to speak. So
it doesn't sound like a terribly difficult job.
No,
I mean, are the posts 4x4 posts?
Yes.
Okay, in concrete?
No concrete.
Wow. Okay, so you need somebody able to dig holes for new posts and put those in where necessary and things like that, right?
Yeah, somebody should have a basic. Now, my husband and I put these up, each greenhouse, in a half a day. So it's not, but then there's an extra half a day to take care of the, get the crushed greenhouse out. So it might take a couple days, maybe 4 days at the most, maybe five.
Can one person do this, or do you need a team working together?
It would be best to have two people, but one person is better than no person.
Well, and besides, if you get one person from one place and another one from another place, maybe they could actually cooperate and do it together.
That's it.
I've heard of that happening.
That would be a blessing to me.
Yeah. So if there's anybody listening that's interested in that, which I hope you are interested, what do they do? They should call you or something, right? Or how do they reach you?
So
email?
Would you mind being the intermediary if they contacted you and then you can contact me?
And then I can let you know. Sure. Yeah.
And
Richard@LostStartsRadio.com.
And I live in Western Montana, so okay. I'm not that far from Idaho.
Okay.
And it is beautiful here, so you'd have good food and a nice company and a beautiful environment.
Yeah, it's an incredible place. So do you want to say the town that you're near so people know where they have to drive to?
So I'm in between Missoula and Kalispell. So I'm kind of halfway.
Okay.
Kind of near Seeley Lake, Montana.
What's the name of the lake again?
Seeley Lake, Montana. It's a vacation village.
Okay.
So I'm kind of near there.
How do you spell Seeley?
S-E-E-L-E-Y, lake.
Okay. All right. So that gives you guys a way to tell where it is. And I think this is like a microcosm of testing if there's still, you know, some humans left that are not totally hypnotized into zombies and willing to help each other, then let me know if you're one of those people and I'll tell Celeste. Hopefully she'll have thousands and thousands saying, oh, I want to help right away, and I'll have to, you know, organize it somehow, but that would be a good problem. So just email me, Richard@LostArtsRadio.com, and let's give an example that humans are not dead yet and could still come back. So I think that would be good. Any advice to people in general that are locked up and dealing with increasing prison conditions and, you know, in an environment where everybody's getting afraid of each other and they can't find any, you know, friendly faces around? What do you suggest?
So basically, you want to eat well. You don't want to eat junk food. You do want to exercise.
Right.
You do want to have a routine. You know, don't just stay in your pajamas all day.
Exactly. Yeah.
You want to network with people. There's classes that you can take. Right now, I'm doing the day before yesterday, I filmed a container gardening class, and I've been giving classes on how to make barbecue sauce, how to make bread, how to butcher, and how to can. So I'm doing all these different classes, and other people are too. You can also go to YouTube and, you know, learn how to wildcraft or something like that.
Right.
And you don't need to be near another human if you don't need to. But I really would encourage people to keep their humanity. Pick up the phone, do a Skype, do a Zoom, pick up the phone, check on your family, check on people that don't have anybody. Like, I don't have anybody. And so I can go a month. You know, if I die, God forbid, I am older, you know, it does happen. But there's nobody checking on me. Nobody calls up just to say, are you alive? How you doing? You know, like that.
Well, I hope that there's some response and you won't be able to say that pretty soon.
That would be a blessing. That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
That would really be great.
Okay. And if somebody wants to know about the classes you're giving, how do they find out about that?
So I have a Patreon account, and it's Shepherd's Heart Farm. And so that's Shepherd's, it's plural, Shepherd's Heart Farm. And then,
so that's patreon.com/Shepherd's Heart Farm, right?
Well, it's Patreon, and then I'm the creator, and that's Shepherd's Heart Farm.
Okay.
So, and then I give for as little as $5 a month, I've got articles, I've got classes, I do a wide variety, I do intel. We have a community, which is really wonderful. We, it's like somebody sent me this book, and I don't even know who it is, like how to raise my dog, you know. So it's really wonderful community. So it kind of has that atmosphere. So if somebody out there needs a community, we're a really friendly bunch, and you get to learn a few things too. And I'll do flash classes, like I said, at the drop of a hat. And then there's also scheduled ones too. I do regular broadcasts every week. So
okay, neat. So join the Patreon account, Shepherd's Heart Farm. And that's one thing. And the YouTube channel, you have a YouTube channel?
It's on Doug's Diamond
Disc. It's on DiamondDiscAudio.com.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so stay in touch with that too. Okay, well, our 5 seconds to do it is over, but hopefully a lot of people are going to get in touch with me right away, and I'll let you know what the response is and get some help going, you know, quickly. And we can help each other. Anybody that gives help to somebody else gets help themselves, you know. It's not, there's nothing selfless about it. It helps everybody.
Yeah, because you never know when it's going to be your turn. And that's if you help somebody else, you always get more back than you give.
That's always. Right. No matter what situation you're in, it's right on the spot. So good chance to test it out. Okay, well, we have a lot more to talk about. So hopefully you'll be back soon, and we'll keep inviting you and see where it goes. I still think humans have a chance in this whole thing. So we should prove it.
I think so, too.
All right. Thanks, Celeste. We'll talk to you in a while.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Talk to you soon. Okay, you guys, we're up to like a couple minutes before the end here. I hope that you'll not just say, oh, that was an interesting lady, and, you know, what's next? I'm gonna switch the channel or something like that. This is an actual human. I know that because I met her and talked to her considerably a lot on all kinds of topics. This is a human that needs some assistance. And if any of you guys still remember how to do physical, you know, chores that are useful, like putting in fences and fixing simple plastic greenhouses, sounds like a really easy, you know, job to me for a couple of people. And if you're only one person and you want to go there, there's going to be somebody else, and hopefully she'll get overwhelmed with people who want to help. So you need to email me if you're open to that or want to find out about it, richard@lostartsradio.com, and I'll hand it over to Celeste and you guys can work it out. So the question is where this is all going to end. And I think it's partly up to you as an individual. And we've been programmed to think that we're really insignificant and weak and stupid, and we need experts to make all our decisions. And this is an alien environment. You know, nature is a big mistake. It's got these evil germs that are going to kill you at any moment, which is how the original idea of the germ theory from Pasteur got twisted around. It's a lot deeper than that. And if you know how to take care of your body, or at least you're willing to learn, then you're just not vulnerable to stuff like you were before. So my feeling of what we need to do is become conscious individually. Like, even if you don't think anybody else is dumping their negative habits and addictions and, you know, self-destructive behaviors, you do it. You don't need to wait for everybody else. You know, do a self-assessment, see what you need to improve about yourself, and just do it. And who cares if anybody watches, because you know, and there's a lot of other people that know too, even if you're not aware of it. So become conscious, find out what you're attached to or addicted to that's self-destructive, and drop it. Drop all the ego nonsense and desire to fight about everything and always argue about who's right, which is a big waste of time. It's like become your real self again, not the small, weak, dependent being who needs the approval of experts to do everything and tell us what to think and how to live. And the censorship right now is getting really intense. That's why I told you to subscribe to Brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio and get on our mailing list at lostartsradio.com. We have a private platform, too, that is going to be more resistant to censorship, that is active now, and that's planetaryhealingclub.com, planetaryhealingclub.com. That's actually the portal to private weekly meetings where all of us are there live and interactive, and the research and all these things that I've been doing for more than 55 years is openly discussed, and we can talk about whatever we want. I don't give medical advice, of course, because that's not at all what interests me. We're sharing information that you can use to fix conditions that you're dealing with yourself and get yourself in good shape so you don't even care about these, you know, things that everybody else is terrified of, because you know you're not susceptible, and that's very possible. And in fact, it's your normal condition. All the rest of this stuff is for fear and enslavement and extermination, which I don't really advocate as a very good path to go any further down. It can still be reversed. It's just totally up to you. Not what everybody else around you is doing. It's what you're doing. And you have unlimited potential, except for where you believe you don't. And if you can grasp that one thing, your entire existence can change from that moment on. So I just want to give you encouragement that take care of what's inside of you, not only physically in your body, but in your consciousness, and dump out you know, all this contentious, self-destructive thought and emotional patterns. It's not you, it's programs. And you can change it as soon as you want to, as soon as you recognize it. It was never you. That's not what you're about, not what you're like. You're an incredible, unlimited being that is made in the image of where you came from, and that's something beyond words, but not beyond access. And you can get it back. That's what we work on in Planetary Healing Club. So if you want to join us, you're welcome to, but it's not a spectator thing. It's like nobody's monitoring what you do, of course. And we're not like the world rulers, but it's material that you're then supposed to take advantage of. And if you're ready for that, then check it out, planetaryhealingclub.com. And if you have questions about it, just email them in, richard@lostartsradio.com. Or if you have comments and suggestions for what you want us to cover, or guests or on the Sunday show or anything like that, which, by the way, tomorrow is Richard Mack, who's very inspirational sheriff, who all the other sheriffs across the country, the 3,000 plus sheriffs in America, should be really following the example of great people like Sheriff Richard Mack, and he'll be on tomorrow night. And the sheriffs have the ability legally, even to protect the people in their county against like any intruders whatsoever, official or not. And the sheriffs, if they're brave and informed, they can actually do that. And more information is at cspoa.org. That's Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association that Richard Mack started. It's inspiring stuff, and it shows you, no, you're not helpless, and constitutionally recognized freedoms and rights do not evaporate by just declaring an emergency. You can't do that. I mean, you can do it by force, but it only works if all the people are so, if all of us are so dumbed down and hypnotized that we think it's valid, which it's not. Those rights and freedoms in the founding documents of America that belong to all people of all countries, they're yours, that they're what's called unalienable. So you can't just say, okay, well, as of an hour ago, those are all canceled. That's all fake. But if you think it's real, then we're all totally controlled by it. So totally up to you. Join us in the Planetary Healing Club if you want to. That's going to be standing long after many other platforms are censored. And planetaryhealingclub.com. And stay in touch. Send suggestions for anything you want during the week, richard@lostartsradio.com. And I really appreciate you giving us a few minutes of your time. Help Celeste, okay? Those of you who are not prisoners in your house totally yet, and some of the guys that are, and women that are younger that have skills or willingness to learn simple things like, you know, putting in fences and greenhouses. Let me know, and I'll give your contact information to Celeste. Okay, don't just forget about it. It's important. That's you in the other person's form, and what you do to help somebody else is exactly what comes back to you starting immediately. Try it, and we'll see you next time.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio on Subscribestar.com. Just go to Subscribestar.com/Lost Arts Radio to find our rewards program, offering 10 different giving levels starting at just $5 a month. We offer incredible value for any rewards level, from extra monthly interview videos not available publicly to subscription-based Planetary Healing Club videos once, twice, or three times a month, to private counseling sessions with Lost Arts Radio host Richard Sachs, to tech help with me, Doug Diamond. We even have one option where you can be the star on Lost Arts Radio as our guest on a specially produced show just for you. We conduct an interview with you and broadcast it to our growing network and listenership. Our Subscribe Star levels are one of a kind and offer great rewards for any budget. Please help support Lost Arts Radio. We can't do it without you. With increasing censorship on many of our channels, we really need your support today to keep doing what we're doing. As Richard says, we're not even at survival level yet. Lost Arts Radio has three weekly shows. Lost Arts Radio Live each Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, which is a live stream currently on multiple platforms in case we get banned from some of the larger ones. Right now, we're on two YouTube channels, Facebook Live, Periscope, which is Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. You can access these broadcasts by going to www.lostartsradio.com/live for all the links to those channels. The Planetary Healing Club meets right after Lost Arts Radio Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturday nights. And our Sunday show with guests airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights on our Blog Talk Radio channel, our YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and on Brighteon. Be sure to sign up for our free email list just in case we do get banned on big tech's platforms. It's just a matter of time, really. They don't like the stuff we talk about, and they do not want the truth out there. In fact, they have already attacked us numerous times. Join our free email list so we can let you know where we are and how to access our shows. The sign-up button is right on the top right on most pages of our website. The best starting point for all things Lost Arts Radio is our main site, lostartsradio.com, where you can find the hottest news selection videos that we curate just for you. Those are on the homepage and added to daily, as well as articles and breaking news about information you really need to know. Our show archives, the 10 most recent shows, are right on our homepage, as well as our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, or just click the All Things Radio Show tab right on our website. We're in the podcast directory on iTunes, and all of our shows except the banned ones are on our YouTube channels at Lost Arts Radio and at Diamond Disc. Our Brighteon page is really taking off, and we often have editors' picks videos right on their homepage. Visit brighteon.com/channel/lostartsradio. On our site, you can also access our free listener forum as well as sign up for the Planetary Healing Club, which is just $25 a month, where you get private access to a one-on-one interaction with host Richard Sachs and myself and the other club members who participate live. More info can be found at planetaryhealingclub.com. We're providing solutions in there to make the world a better place. Come join us. Thanks again for listening to and supporting Lost Arts Radio. We love having you as part of our family to learn, experience, and grow with.